It's a Longhorn Notebook brought to you by Erin Bowersock, BowersockTeam.com. She is your home loan expert. Let Erin do for you what she did for Craig and Linda. They always talk about when they made the move to Georgetown, Erin made the home loan process so easy for them. Get in touch with her. It's BowersockTeam.com. Erin Bowersock, she is your home loan expert. Joining us as he does each and every Friday on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, he is the recruiting editor at Horns 24/7, one of the hardest working men in the recruiting business and one of the best doing it, the best doing it in the Texas market. The best recruiting coverage is at Horns 24/7 with Mike and Hudson Standish. He is our recruiting editor. He is Mike Roach. Mike, good Friday to you, sir.
How you doing?
Wonderful. Let's talk about the 2023 cycle, Mike. We had a recruiting rankings, the final rankings update yesterday. Anything from the Texas point of view jump out to you? A couple of five-star guys with Arch Manning finishing at number one. Anthony Hill's in that mix. Cedric Baxter's in that mix. Guys all up and down the top 247. Anything jump out to you with the final rankings update?
Obviously, the headline of Arch Manning retaining number one. I know a couple of another service at least that moved off of them being number one. So that was kind of the question. And in the end, I think our rankings team felt like his floor combined with still his potential for growth was enough to keep him number one. So that's huge. Those guys finishing number one at their position. Outside of the five-star rankings, you saw Jonte Cook move up into the 30s. I believe he was at 38. And Jelani McDonald moved from 97 to 51. So the swift ascent of Jelani McDonald continued. And, I think you got to be really excited about this class.
Mike, I know anytime we bring you on, we could talk about Arch. But to kind of put a cap on Arch Manning's, time as a recruit, because he's already at Texas and the recruiting process is long over, you're one of the people in this industry that has actually seen him in person throw the football and compete on the field. What was your overall takeaway from watching him and talking to Cooper Petechner or whoever it is on our rankings council or in the home office when they've seen Arch? How much did what you saw in person kind of jibe with what other people in the network saw?
Yeah, Cooper, who's on our national scouting team, and I both saw him multiple times, either in practice or games. Cooper gave him the player comp of Joe Burrow, and I really like that comp more from a mental aspect. I feel like the thing that separates Joe Burrow is how cool and calm he is on the field at all times, it seems like. And that was my big takeaway from March, is just, regardless of the situation, and we saw him in a variety of situations, he's kind of always level. He never really changes up and always stays calm and collected. And I think that goes a long way at the quarterback position when you're not losing your head all the time. And, that was a big one outside of the physical traits. Obviously, I mean, he's number one because of the way he's built, because of the way he can throw the ball. And I think he's also got, it's not a hallmark of the Manning family traditionally, but he's also got some surprising mobility. I think he's definitely not a guy that you have to game plan around his legs, but he can extend plays better than I think most people think he can.
Mike, every year there's, when I was doing what you're doing now, there every year there's one guy in the Texas class that you feel like, man, I think we're going to regret not ranking him higher. Deshaun Elliott was that guy for me once upon a time, and there's been others. Who's that for you when you look at that final top 247 of our in-house rankings at 24/7 Sports? Who's that one guy that you feel, I think he's a little too low, or man, he's was outside of that top 247 that we might regret not having him in there 3-4 years down the road?
I think Darian Gillette is that guy, and a lot of that, I think Darian Gillette would be in there had he played his senior season, had he not been injured. And that was the unfortunate part. Coming off of a tremendous track season where he ran at the state meet, ran anchor on their 4x1 and 4x2 as a linebacker at 6'2", 230 pounds, a tremendous basketball season, had led Marlin to a state semifinal appearance. He was a guy that I think was primed for a big rise, and unfortunately a knee injury took that away from him. But this is a guy that's already – when I showed up to his signing ceremony on signing day, I expected him to look bad. I mean, he's had a torn ACL. A lot of times when you have that, you can't work out, you get out of shape. He looked phenomenal, and he hadn't been able to even do anything with his lower body at that point. Talked to somebody near him who said he showed up at Texas in January, at around 235. So I think this guy is going to be an edge player who is an incredibly versatile and explosive athlete. And I think he could really rise up boards as he goes through his college career.
Mike, kind of off topic a little bit. When you talk about Darren Gillette, I almost feel remiss if I don't mention Jare Bledsoe in the same breath. I heard a lot of good stuff about Jare Bledsoe coming out of bowl practices and late in the year. Felt like he was a guy that was really starting to come along. He had played, you know, sparingly this fall. Do you feel like he's a guy that, you know, maybe by the end of spring practice was one of those guys that, again, you know, missed some time on the field, but by the end of spring practice, maybe he's a guy that people are looking at as kind of one of those breakout type candidates on the field in 23?
It's funny you mentioned Bledsoe. At the same signing ceremony for Gillette, I saw Bledsoe there and talked to him for a little bit, and he looks to be in phenomenal shape. And it was the first time I'd seen him up close since the year before when I saw him at the Under Armour game, where he came in very much out of shape after not playing his senior year. And so, you know, he looks phenomenal. Everybody's always loved his upside and his frame and athletic ability. I think he got on the field probably earlier than I anticipated he would. And, yeah, I think he's definitely a guy that can take that step forward in the spring.
Horns 24/7 recruiting editor Mike Roach joining us here on Light the Tower on the Horn. All right, Mike, it's the last weekend of the 2023 recruiting cycle. What is on the table for Texas as we head into National Signing Day on Wednesday?
Not a ton. It's a fairly uneventful end of the recruiting cycle for us. Kind of that way last year, and I got to say, I don't really hate it. You know, it's nice not right. to be running crazy at the month of January. And so, you know, there's a couple guys left on the board. Warren Roberson, the TCU commit from Red Oak, will visit Texas this weekend. That's kind of been set up in the last week. I think if Texas makes a very strong push, they could get him. And then all eyes will be on Deuce Robinson, five-star tight end out of Phoenix, making his decision on signing day. It's going to come down to Texas, Georgia, USC, Alabama, and Oregon. I think Georgia has the lead, but Texas isn't giving up. I think they've got one last in-home with him, and we'll kind of see how that goes.
Mike, as far as Warren Roberson goes, I know he was a guy that Texas had expressed interest in at various points during the cycle. Is this a case of, hey, leave no stone unturned, and if there's kind of one kid out there that's still available, unsigned, that we feel can help us win, you go get him? Is that kind of the mentality from everything you've heard that the Texas staff took, that, hey, you know, kind of best position player available, so to say, best left on the board available?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think they looked around and said, oh, wow, Warren Roberson didn't sign with TCU. If he's not signed, we've still got a shot. And we're able to get him scheduled for a visit. I think that when you look at it, he's a guy that has a lot of athleticism, plays on both sides of the ball, has the frame you want in the secondary, can play corner or safety. And, you know, they didn't load up on huge numbers in the secondary this year. I think part of that was by design because they took a bigger class last year. But I think also part of it was when they missed out on some primary targets, they weren't just going to take guys that they didn't feel could be a legit fit. And I do think they think that Roberson can be a legit fit. So, yeah, I think it's a case of just trying to maximize what you've got left in this class.
Mike, I know it would be easy to say when this thing gets put to bed for good on Wednesday and everybody officially turns the page to the 2024 cycle, the big takeaway from 23, it's for a lot of people, it's going to be Arch and then everything else. Is that how you're going to remember this 2023 cycle for Texas, or is it something else?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's really hard not to focus on Arch in this class. I mean, centerpiece of it, he's what they built around. But for me, I think the important thing to focus on this class is what they've done defensively, especially at the linebacker and edge positions, such big positions of need. I can't say enough about the job Jeff Choate did this year recruiting the linebacker position, getting a guy like Anthony Hill, who I would say is almost as important to this class as Arch, and getting some of the edge talent that got to help remedy that pass rush situation.
Mike, I know you were bird-dogging the high school relations director job, which is now going to Jamal Finner, the now former LBJ head coach. I know everybody in the Austin area, including us at the station, that have gotten to know Coach Finner. Everybody's excited for him to have this opportunity. What was your take, Mike, just overall on Sark's search for Chris Gilbert's replacement and then ending up with Jamal Fenner as the pick?
It's really hard to replace Chris Gilbert. He's kind of a one-of-one to me. And so, you know, I think at times during the search, they may have looked at it like, let's find another Chris Gilbert. And I think they kind of realized there are no more guys like him out there, so let's go find the best fit. And, you know, a lot was put on, let's find a guy with experience in Dallas. And, hey, as a guy who lives in Dallas and has a lot of connections to those coaches, I wouldn't have minded it. But in the end, I think if you get a guy – who is a relationship-driven person like Coach Fenner is, from what I've heard, you know, he can kind of translate to any area. I think a lot of times we, and I'm guilty of this as well, you know, put a lot of emphasis on, well, we got to get a guy from this area or that area. But in the end, I mean, recruiting is all about relationships. It's all about being able to communicate with prospects, relate to their families. And I think if a guy can do that, it doesn't matter where he's from. I actually really like the hire.
Would you say the same thing, Mike, about Chris Jackson as the receivers coach? You know, I mean, it's one of those deals. Sometimes people say, hey, you know, no credit's worse than having bad credit. It's there's just no track record of Chris Jackson recruiting at the college level. But what do you think overall about that wide receivers coaching hire? Again, hard to replace the kind of dynamic recruiter Brennan Marion was. But again, it all boils down to relationships. And if Chris Jackson can form those on the trail.
Yeah, he's just a total unknown at this point. I can't say whether it's good or bad because he doesn't have a track record of recruiting. And I think a lot of times people say, well, you know, I'd rather have a good coach than a recruiter. And I don't think you have to pigeonhole yourself. I think you can get both in a lot of cases. So I'm definitely interested to see what the early feedback is on him. Obviously, the NFL experience gives him a little bit of a boost. And, you know, we'll just kind of see how it translates.
You can get him on Twitter at MikeRoach247. Get the State of Recruiting podcast. If you are a Longhorn Blitz podcast subscriber, you know you get the State of Recruiting whenever it drops. If you're not, search Horns 24/7 anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that follow button to get every episode of the State of Recruiting when it drops. And you can always find Mike's work at Horns247.com. Best recruiting coverage in the Texas market with Hudson Standish and our recruiting editor. He is Mike Roach. Mike, thanks as always for the time, man. We'll do it again next week as we officially turn the page to 2024.
All right. Talk to you next week.